Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back, my friends, to where the music never ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. to midnight. Come hang with our wild dog, Louie, in nature and passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. Turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction on Wednesday. Thursdays are split between In Our Craft of Song Art with Rich and Neutron and Double Helix with Asiana and Dex. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. And Saturday is split with Grey Eyes Howling at the Moon in the Canadian Wild with Bad Company and Ecphasia with Captain B and Dan. And if you're looking for a little more edgy around, then please check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Monday through Saturday mornings. Mondays are split between The Hearts of L&P with Victoria and Black Lace Diaries with Mr. M and Mistress Frost. Tuesday, Take a Walk on the Wild Side. Fridays are split between Crawling into the Dark with Pam and Break On Through. Saturdays, join Aphasiana and Barbara as they teach you the fine art, becoming part sinner. Art Saint. Check out the contests and prompts for all our shows, call in to read your poems, and hang for the fun. Tonight we dig into Metallica. And how you doing, Gene?
I'm good, Rex. How are you tonight?
I'm good.
Very good, very good. Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a great show tonight. I'm looking forward to it.
It should be. This is one of her favorites.
Absolutely. We have Pam with us.
Uh-huh.
She's on the board. Yeah.
Hey, hey.
Hey, Sam.
Hey, Jean. Good to hear you both.
Good to hear you too, hon.
So what you got to say about Metallica?
Well, I got to say, this is your show. You're the one supposed to have
the
plan.
Oh, yeah, but it's one of your pet bands, so why don't you offer up a few things?
You know,
considering by your good graphics across the page.
Yes, yes, I was. I was putting glitter. I do absolutely love Metallica, but I love heavy metal music and hard rock music. And, you know, a lot of people ask me, you can't understand why I like heavy metal music. But to me, it just so much represents everything I tend to hold into myself. It's that expression. Like, you know how when you listen to certain music and you feel like here's a music that relates to me, and not just I can relate to the music, but that the music speaks for you. That's how I feel about Metallica and about heavy metal in general. But with Metallica, I always tell people, even if the sound doesn't appeal to you, read their lyrics. Take time to listen to their, to really pay attention to the lyrics. I mean, because they've got songs like One, about that World War One soldier. They have, you know, the intro song that you did. I mean, that is a beautiful song, not only about love, but about humanity understanding one another. The thing that I've told people before, but I'll repeat it because it's worth repeating, is that every member of Metallica is classically trained in music. You know, they don't, they're not just, you know, they know their instruments, they know their notes, and, you know, they could have gone into classic music, but they chose heavy metal because it's what spoke for them. And I truly believe that. And maybe there's people out there who will argue with me. I don't personally know Lars or any of the other guys from Metallica. I wish I did. But from years of being a fan of their music, I truly believe that they chose what they love, and not just for the money and not just for the following. When I put up the contest, because you couldn't quite do it because of your phone, and I said, here are some of my favorite songs, I had to limit myself. I kept wanting to add more and more. You know, but, yeah, now, if you want to know some like little facts about Metallica and not just my opinion on what I think about their music, they were formed in 1981 in Los Angeles, California. They were one of the big four bands of thrash metal, which included Megadeth, Anthrax, Slayer, and of course Metallica. They first found commercial success with their third album, Master of Puppets, and that is one that I know quite a few Metallica fans are a big fan of. Now, I chose to name the contest after the song and album Ride the Lightning, just because I thought it was a cool name, plus it has some really awesome songs on there. One of my favorite songs on there is the Rise of Cthulhu, which is actually a completely instrumental song, but I highly recommend listening to it. And throughout the years, they've done some, I know they've had songs that are more lately like more of a country hard rock feel than their traditional 1980s like heavy metal. But that's what I like about them. They can really expand themselves. Let's see. In May 1983, Metallica traveled to Rochester, New York to record its debut album, Metal Up Your Ass. I like that title, which was produced by Paul Koscielny. The other members decided to eject Mustaine from the band because of his drug and alcohol abuse. That was, by the way, Dave Mustaine was one of the members of the band that obviously got evicted for drug and alcohol use. They really have had a lot has happened to them over the years, a lot of ups, a lot of downs. But I believe through it all, they've remained loyal to their fans, and their fans have especially remained loyal to them. It's like the Green Bay Packers of heavy metal. Their fans remain loyal. And anyways,
yeah,
I feel like
they found their bassist, Burton. They were amazed with him because he was using a wah-wah pedal while playing bass. So they took him on, and he died over in Europe during their one of their tours. They were on a bus driving to their next destination, I guess, and they drew lots to who gets to sleep in which bunk. And Burton won, so he took a Hetfield's bus, Hetfield's bunk, and the bus rolled over a half a dozen times, and Burton, they found him lying underneath the bus with his feet hanging out. And that was in 1986.
That was sad. I mean, I don't remember when that happened, but I do remember reading about it later. And, yeah, that was extremely sad.
And what was it? Hetfield and Ulrich met in L.A. when he put out an ad in Recycle magazine, drummer looking for metal musicians to jam with Iron Maiden, Diamond Head, and Tigers of the Pantang. And Ulrich answered that ad in must have been early summer. By October, they had formed their own band, and that came from Ulrich's friend Ron Quintana, who was brainstorming names for a fanzine. Metal Mania and Metallica was one of them, so Ulrich really liked Metallica, so he told his buddy to go with Metal Mania for the magazine so he could have Metallica.
Very cool. Very cool. Nice little tidbit to know. I did not know that. I like that.
Yeah, and what was that? Mustaine, who got fired? He formed, what was it? What was his band that came out after that?
Oh, geez.
Megadeth.
I'm drawing a blank. Megadeth, okay. Okay, yeah. Megadeth is pretty good, too.
Yeah, he was pretty pissed with Hetfield, because he said all those riffs off that first album was what he wrote. And Hetfield kind of just walked in and stole the lines, and they fired his butt because of the alcohol and drugs, supposedly. But they both moved on. And Hetfield's got one hell of a an old custom car collection. Oof, he loves his custom cars.
I believe that, yes. Yeah, definitely. And hey, why not? Honestly, I think if I had the money, custom cars would be something I'd collect. So I totally get that.
They have sold 125 million U.S. albums, so there's money in that game, plus the concerts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was a Metallica song that, and it was a fact I was telling Jessica in Late Night Poets because I had read it. I think it was the song One by Metallica. It was like the first music video made. Yeah, that was it. It was the first one. The video for that was the first video that Metallica made for a song, one of their songs.
Oh, okay.
And
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and I don't know if you'll find this particularly interesting, but the video for Metallica One, there's a part in it where have you ever seen that before? Where the guy says, okay, well, you have to watch it because it is really an excellent video. And in the beginning, this guy is saying to his son, for any man would give his first for democracy. That's it, for democracy. Any man would give his firstborn son. That's actually a clip from a Little House in the Prairie episode.
Oh, okay. Enter Sandman was Mariano Rivera's walk-in song every time he came out of the bullpen for the Yankees in Yankee Stadium from 98 until he retired.
Huh. Wow. That's an interesting little fact. Yeah, Enter Sandman, let's see. I've read two different things. One, that it was song lyrics, specifically written for James Hetfield's son, you know, like a bedtime song. The other thing heard was that it was actually a song about SIDS, about, you know, sudden infant death syndrome.
Yep. I've heard both too, and it's why he put his son as part of the song itself, having him speak in the video and the song itself.
Absolutely, yeah.
I guess we should get started.
I think you're right. All right, well.
Well, I just want to take this opportunity and thank everyone for joining us for everything you ever wanted to know about Metallica, and we're afraid to ask, because we have got it all covered here. Now, I'm just sitting here listening to you guys go, well, okay, we got a lot of facts going on. Very cool. Very cool.
Oh, too funny.
Uh-oh. I better behave myself. Lex, why are you so quiet?
Oh, I was listening to you. That was the first thing I heard out of you the last 18 minutes outside of my intro.
I couldn't compete. I couldn't even come close. I'm just sitting here going, okay, go for it, guys. It was interesting, so I was happy. Just thought it was funny. And I was waiting for you to stop so I could say that, too. I was waiting on that one.
Here, I'll do an easy one. I got to throw out for next week we're doing Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. A real surreal piece.
Ah, yes. I did see that. I think you had the board up on
it. That song came out on May 26, 1967.
Nice.
Pretty cool. I was 5. Just saying. And how old were you, Pam?
I was my daddy's wet dream. That's what I was. I was my daddy's wet sheep.
You're still a twinkle in his eye. That's all you had to say. My goodness.
Oh, that's okay. Jeez. Everybody says that. I had to think of something different. Okay, fine. I was.
Never mind.
What year was he? What year did it come out? 1967?
Yep.
Let's see. Okay, well, I guess I don't even know if my daddy's eyes were twinkling at that point.
Mm. Well, I don't know if your dad's my age. He was 5. Just saying.
Okay. Maybe his eyes were twinkling, but not at the idea of making me.
Yeah, well, 5, everybody's eyes twinkle. Life still looks good. Yes, and easy.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, on that note, let me see now. Rex, did you have someplace specific you wanted to start, or you just want me to?
Oh, yeah, top to bottom. I laid it out. That way we're going to mix in with the audio as well as regular rights.
Awesome. Okay, I'm going to put the first one up for you then, Rex, and it's by Lou Woodside.
Oh, Woodside. It Really Doesn't Matter by Lou Woodside. In my darkest moments, I've been able to find musical words of wisdom that stand the test of time. We often worry about what other people think and say, but ultimately, in the end, it doesn't matter anyway. What she thinks, he says, is that important to you? Sounds more like judging everything you say and what you do. We can't live the lives of others. It's just not meant to be. I can't live for him or her. And they sure can't live for me. No matter how close or far, one thing that we share is whatever the distance is between us, I know that you'll always care. An open heart, an open mind, our books have unwritten chapters. I live for me, you live for you, because nothing else matters. End poem. All right, Pam.
Well, this is an excellent song, excellent write by Lou. A great read there, Rex. She chose the intro song, Nothing Else Matters, to write to. This has a nice rhyme and flow all the way through. What she thinks he says, is it that important to you? Sounds more like judging everything you say and what you do. We can't live the lives of others. It's just not meant to be. I can't live for him or her, and they sure can't live for me. You know, those are excellent lines, and I really like how the whole message of this is, you know, be yourself, live your life the way you want to live it for yourself, and not because others' opinions matter that much, and not because others' opinions mean so much to you. Just a really great write all the way through and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I think this was nicely penned, and I thought it was a good take on the prompt. Not that I know much Metallica, but I am familiar with the song. Whoa! Yay for me on that one. See? I got a little bit.
High five.
I like, what's that, hon?
Oh, I said high five.
Yeah, I'm telling you, every now and then, I even a broken clock is right twice a day. That's the way I look at life. But I like the first couple lines in this alone, like just start out with. But in my darkest moments, I've been able to find musical words of wisdom to stand the test of time. You know, and then the parts that you quoted as well, Pam, I think this was very well stated and nicely done. So thank you, Lou, for sharing with us tonight.
Thank you, Jean. Pam, mm-hmm. You think those first few lines kind of hit the notes of the opening of the song? If you read this right and kind of hint at the thought of the song itself?
It does, actually, yeah. It is a very, very cool. Great notice there,
Rick. You kind of give it the right same tone and pace as the original. So, but it does work that way, and I like that thought, especially with the back angle of dropping Nothing Else Really Matters to finish, but also It Doesn't Matter Anyway. It gives it that kind of a thought to flow. And you guys covered the angle on it, and it does. Sometimes you just got that last stand, open heart and open mind. Our books have unwritten chapters. I live for me, you live for you, because nothing else really matters. There's a nice, what do they call it? The original liberal point of view. You do you, I do me. Nothing else matters in between. Live and let live. Thank you, Lou. All right, Jane.
Okay.
By
Darkened Auras, and it's called End Them Stand Man.
Okie dokie, Smokey. End Them Sandman by Darkened Auras. From cradle to grave, nobody can shave the deep-seated fear that grows ever near when Sandman is here. Is baby dying? Mother is crying, fits of toss and turn as the nighttime burns. Peaceful sleep, she yearns. So sudden his death, one last garbled breath, neither parent sleeps. His cries, they still creep, his memory keeps them up all night long. Where did they go wrong? Sprinkled sands of time have committed crime. Crib death killed bedtime. Heavy thoughts invade. Nightmares now are made. Throughout all the years, sand washed away years when Sandman was here. End poem.
Great read, Jan. Thank you very much. And DA actually hit that theme of the angle of the crib death and walked quite well into it. Sort of that destructive quality that kind of a lot of families don't survive when the baby dies, especially crib death, because it kind of tears them apart. Like, what did we do wrong? What did you didn't get up when he cried? He didn't cry. There's all sorts of back angles come from it, which destroys everything that once was. And it's heartbreaking, but sometimes some things just happen because they happen, unfortunately. Great piece, Darken. Thank you very much. All right, Gene, what about you?
What Rex said? No, I'm only kidding. I thought it was a really well-written. I thought it was a really well-written piece, and I thought it was a great take on the prompt. And I only say that because of the conversation you and Pam had prior, you know, because I didn't know anything about where the song came from or the roots or anything about it. And I think that, you know, it was sad, but it was just well done. So, nice work.
All right, Pam, how about you?
Yeah, well, I have to agree with both you and Gene. It is extremely sad, but given the topic, and, you know, I think, well, I'm very thankful that it's something I never that this is not something I never had to deal with. I don't know how parents get through it. You know, I just honestly can't even imagine. And, you know, as always, Darkened Auras is a wonderful rhyming poet. I like that she went with five lines. Like, usually she does four lines in her rhyming poems, and this one, she threw us a bit different with the first two lines rhyming the same and then the last three lines rhyming the same in each stanza. And that was a nice change of pace. This is a powerful and emotive write all the way through, but I really like how she touches on, so sudden his death, one last garbled breath, neither parent sleeps, she cries, they still creep, his memory keeps them all up all night long, where did they go wrong? And that question, and that has to be on so many parents' minds that go through SIDS. I mean, well, even parents who've never dealt with it, you know, like I remember, like, feeling so frustrated if my kids weren't sleeping when they were babies. But then if they were too quiet, I would have to get up and check on them. So I think it's something that, you know, any parent can relate to. And so excellent write and very well done.
Aw, thank you, everybody. All right, Jean, I guess we're coming back to you.
Okie dokie. Well, I'm going to put up this next piece, and it's called May As Well Go Out a Gun. May As Well Go Out Guns a Blazer by S. Sharp. I have an audio for that, so let me hit the button. Here we go.
What we have left you. The future appears hollowed out in the eyes of our youth. A Trojan horse of despair leaves them living out video game trials, grabbing AK-15s as their better judgment calls them to arms. The planet cannot defend itself. Politicians defend only their next 4 years. Disillusionment is the mask hero, been set and etched in stone like a plaque on a statue, proclaiming rebellion as the only choice. No power-ups to happiness when hatred is everywhere to be seen. The news, the internet, social media, their homes. What happened to national unity, a sense of belonging to something, standing for a common value, a belief, living for the next generation's success. Now we stand for nothing but self, but now the possessions, the personal whim, nothing that can be bequeathed to the future, but hatred, guns, and disillusionment we have armed ourselves with.
Great read, Scott. Thank you very much. But I do believe you put the wrong sound out in the bottom of the piece. I'm trapped. All right, where's that? Where's that? And I didn't actually find none of it. So I'm going to go ahead and read this one so we at least get the
right
thing on the board. Yeah?
That was crazy.
May as well go out guns a-blazing. Welcome to the new day's deliverance, the four horsemen ride, and then beyond your own entrails decides if you are worth your own petulance. Watch the isolation of your video game life, strum along and thinking you're ripping, it's the meaning of life and time you're missing, where's the cure for this goddamn strife? Reach into your side saddle, son, we live in the time of the gun, nobody remembers anyone, may as well go out, guns a-blazing. Reach into your side, battle fun. Shock is shock, no wonder stunned. Live life like you're on television. May as well go out, guns a-blazing. Welcome to the new world order. The four horsemen have arrived. The times your tent has long passed by. You're still breathing, but time's getting shorter. Watch those crazy TikTok vids. It's all being done there on no extremes. Die a thousand deaths and them online memes. Yeah, them homies will be blowing your lid. Reach into your side, battle son. We live in the time of the gun. Nobody remembers anyone. May as well go out, guns a-blazing. Reach into your side, battle son. Shock is shock, no wonder stunned. Live life like you're on television. May as well go out, guns a-blazing. And punk. All right, Dan.
That was a great read.
Comment on the first one, the second one, or both. Ha-ha.
Well, honestly, I didn't even realize, I didn't realize the first one wasn't the right poem. But I'm glad you caught that and that Phil did. So that's awesome. But, yeah, I had actually read this one ahead of time. And, you know, I like how he says in his AN, a longtime fan of Metallica, I could see this sung to one of their many manical rhythms. And I have to agree, you know, to me, this has like a theme they were very, them and a lot of heavy metal are famous for is social issues. And to me, he touches on the social issue of the sad and tragic issue of school shooting. You know, it feels like, you know, that the youth that are so wrapped up in violence and, you know, that they don't think about the consequences of their action. I particularly like "Reach into your side saddle, son. We live in the time of the gun. Nobody remembers anyone. May as well go out, guns a-blazing. Reach into your side saddle, son. Shock is shocked, no one to stun. Live life, live you're on television. May as well go out, guns a-blazing." It's the way that television and social media and video games can all really get into the people's heads, and how everybody wants their 15 minutes of fame, and some people will get it by hurting others, by hurting themselves. I just think all the way through, this is a powerful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
I think it was a great piece, very well written, and I think it kind of fit the vibe very well. So I think that it was a great job done. And, you know, I thought it was me because I don't always start to read the same time as audio starts. And I'm listening and going, where is this? And I tried to track it down, and I couldn't find it. So
apologies. No, we got the AKs. I know there's not there. Honestly, AKs in this. I said, okay. And then I went and looked at the what he had down in the bottom. And, yeah, that's not exactly the right one. This one's called What We Have Left You. It's for something else.
Yeah, I was
okay, I didn't screw up. Just put the wrong one in the wrong place. Not a big deal.
Right. Absolutely. But you had to see me there chasing those words. I'm like, I can't find it. Where am I? And, of course, I didn't get to read it.
I know.
Along with.
You got going.
Yeah,
up.
I didn't read it.
Did
just
he stop
because
in the middle? And am I missing something?
It's craziness. Yeah. Okay. Well, you go ahead and do your comment. And I have Chris Bond on the line when you're done. So just so you know.
Oh,
okay?
Cool. Well, this kind of rides on that. Well, Pam hit on the school shooting angle. But I thought this hit more on today's world, the four horsemen arriving, the ease. Video game life seems to be something that everybody plays for hours on end while wearing diapers. They don't have to actually get up to use the bathroom. They can just play right on through their delivery system, which is kind of a nasty note to kind of think on anyway. But everything of the video games, the TikTok, all the crap that rolls through people's minds, and it's not reality yet. They treat it as such. And the thought of going out guns a-blazing, hey, that's not a bad way to go. Until you actually start feeling all that stuff rip through your body, then you understand, oh, yeah, it's not a video game. I don't get to come back alive.
Yeah, right. So true.
Hey, Chris.
Morning, Rex. Morning, everyone.
Hi, Chris.
I'm not too bad, thank you. Sorry, early in the morning, and I can't stay long, but it's good to speak to you all.
Oh, we're glad you could come.
You go on, sorry.
Okay. Okay. Well, since you don't have long, Chris, I'm going to put your piece up. So whenever you're ready.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Right, an introduction to Metallica, Motor Breath. Another band introduced to, courtesy of Rex and Pam. Another treat for the ears, even if they are a bit loud. The song Motor Breath caught my attention. Maybe it's the similarity to the word Motorhead that brought about the situation. I'll give them a listen. Will any be added to my catalogue? I don't think they'll dislodge my favourites, but I may well gather a few new songs. End poem.
Great read, Chris. Thank you very much. And Gene, why don't we kick it with you first?
Well, I think this is another great brevity by you, Chris. I think you were straight to the point, and and made your points well. You know, the song Motor Breath caught my attention. Maybe it's a similarity to the word Motorhead that brought about this situation. You know, at least in the center there, you're honest enough to say, put it out there like that, and then lead into the end about favorites and what have you. So I think it was just really nicely well done.
Thank you so much, Gene.
Welcome.
Thank you, Gene. And Dan?
Well, first of all, I'm glad that you took time to listen to some Metallica, and I'm glad you were inspired to write. There are definitely parts of this that it's a great brevity. There are parts that make me smile, like when you say another treat for the ears, even if they are a bit loud, and you put the exclamation point after loud. And when you said maybe it's the similarity to the word Motorhead, it reminded me of those word association games where somebody says a word and you say the first thought that pops into your head as soon as you hear that word. Also, great humor and wonderful honesty in the "Will any be added to my catalog? I don't think they'll dislodge my favorites, but my archives may well gather a few new songs." And you know what? I totally agree. And that's the wonderful thing about being around such a diverse culture as like late night poets or alt poetry, is that there's such a wonderful variety of musical taste. And we get that opportunity to learn different songs from and music from each other. So you know what, Chris, you're going to have to do is sometime send me some videos of some of your favorite music so I can listen if I haven't heard any.
Thank you.
All right, and thank you.
Well, thank you, Chris. Hey, we're always up for expanding one's musical repertoire, and it's always a good thing. Hey, you might gather a few songs in there. I mean, what we played to open was a nice tune, and Sandman's a good tune as well. So there are some lighter notes within their bag of tricks that you might appreciate.
Okay, so give them a listen.
Oh, and next week, hey, it's Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Have some fun.
Oh, that's classic. I like that one.
Well, all right, Jane, we're coming right back to you.
Okay, and since Rex read the last one, I'm going to come to you next, Pam.
Don't you mean you're going to go to yourself next?
No. No. I'm not.
Oh, man.
I would have had Christmas. Yeah, I would have had Christmas.
All right. Let's see. I don't know if I can do this exactly how it's supposed to be done, so I'm not even going to try to sing it, but I'll try to read it my best. I forgot to have my Jägermeister. All right. This is Unforgiven Sleep by Jessica D. Lay beside me, inside this mind we share, whisper softly, and show me that you care. You want your freedom to go out at night and screw. Make an effort here with me. I'll make it back with you, with you. Lay beside me within our crumbling shell, staring out behind my eyes, looking for that tell, waiting for me to cede and give in to what you need. Tell me all your sick desires, the ones you want to feed. What we've lived and what we've done, roll the stones we never won. Stuck in the stinking cage, should I open it for you, or are you unforgiven too? So bear my soul, let it sleep, a dirty pool of a life lived cheap, on quiet memories our knee cracking deep. So hold me until it sleeps. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, why don't we start with you?
Let's see, because I'm a little slow, but I think Jessica did a great job with this poem. I couldn't sing it either, Pam. That's why I've tossed it over to you. I figured you could. I'm just saying. But I think that this was really a great piece and well done. It's got the right undertone to it, and I think it says a lot. There's a lot of deep thoughts in this, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And Jess, I think it was a great job and a great addition to the show tonight. So thank you much.
Thank you, Jean. And Chris, how about you?
It was a very powerful poem. I mean, I got the impression it was like a sort of someone desperately trying to rescue a relationship and they'll do whatever it takes to do it. So It had very sad undertones to me. Very good write. Well done.
Thank you, Chris. Pam, you got to read it. What about you?
Yes. Yes. Well, I knew from a heads up from Jessica that it had been written in the same meter and as the song. And she said if I was feeling brave and it was assigned to me, I could sing it. But I just can't pull off a James Hetfield's voice. Not even close. So, but the write itself, oh my goodness, yeah, absolutely. It's beautiful, it's powerful. I like how it's about two broken people, and like they that seem to, Lady sighed me within our crumbling shell, staring out behind my eyes, looking for that tell, waiting for me to seed and give into what you need. Tell me all your sick desires, the ones you want to feed. Two people who are so broken and so sick, and they're having a hard time letting go of their old lifestyle in order to find that strength and comfort in each other, because both of them are so damaged from the past. I really like those end lines, too. A dirty pool of a life lived cheap. On quiet moments, our knee cracking deep. The whole idea of how we feel so broken at times that we can barely stand. So beautifully written and very well done.
I'm grateful to everybody. But I'm going to go a little different. It's not about a pair. It's about a singularity. Lay beside me in this mind we share. Lay beside me within our crumbling shell, staring out behind my eyes, looking for that tell. This is almost a dual personality. The one wants to get out and do all those things, those desires that feed into their mentality, while the other one is trying to keep that bottled up and silent away from doing those things, those sick things that the singularity that has got more control or a better voice feels Rolling Stones, We Never Won, Stuck in That Stinking Cage. Should I open it for you? There's that sort of note, hey, we're killing ourselves. This isn't right. We're feeding into something that is going to be our demise. And then that last line here, unquiet memories, I need cracking deep, so hold me until it sleeps. There's that notion of wanting that desire to burn off in the night and sleep. So there's a sense of ease instead of letting that monster out of the cage. Nicely done, Jessica.
That is a really great observation there, Rex. I feel like once you said that, I was like, oh my gosh, she's right. I totally missed the obvious. That's very cool.
All right, Jane, we're coming back your way.
Okie doke. Rex, I'm coming to you with this one. And this is by Ernie.
Okie dokie. All right. The Master and the Puppet by Ernest. We see so many people that don't trust in their ability to get the things they want to have in their lives and reach the goals and wishes they once had. And their choice, it is to follow and to serve some other people in exchange of benefits that they might get from them to occupy their dull and empty lives. They have renounced their own desires while the feelings have become a luxury because they shouldn't interfere with what they're asked by those who are commanding their lives. That's why it is important to confide and build your own life when pursuing what it is, the aim that you have set in life and you'll achieve when you are your own master. And boom. And Chris, why don't we start with you, please?
Written another really good poem, a strong statement. It's sort of like saying how people sort of give up on their dreams maybe too easily and just happy to be go along with the flow rather than actually pursue what they want to do. And so I love the last line, and you'll achieve when you're your own master, sort of like, rather than having someone else as your master. Really strong poem I enjoy. Thank you so much. I shall probably have to ring off now, so I shall say goodbye to you all. Have a nice evening.
All right, Chris.
Good night,
Steve. Take it easy. Thank you.
Take care.
Great
bye-bye.
Comment. All right, Pam, you got the next one up. What do you think?
All right. Well, I thought this had a really nice flow to it. I like that he wrote to the song Master of Puppets. You know, for not being a rhyming poem, like I said, it flows very nicely. Kind of, it has a meter to it. I like that the general message of this to me is that of people who give up even before they try, people who don't trust their own instinct. You know, and that we see so many people that don't trust in their own ability to get the things they want to have in their lives. They have renounced their own desires while the feelings have become a luxury because they shouldn't interfere with what they're asked by those who are commanding their lives. It so much feels like that, you know, that nod and smile attitude, going through life, making everybody else happy, but never standing up for yourself, never doing anything for yourself. I like that he ends with the idea of being your own master. Instead of being the puppet, break the strings and become your own master. So wonderful, positive message and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
I'm not sure if she's back yet.
Oh, I didn't know she left.
Oh, she is.
All right.
Okay, but
I'm going to walk in that.
Rex?
Yes.
She's back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I said I didn't hear it. Sorry.
Oh, okay. No problem.
Yeah.
All right, there's a note in here. They have renounced their own desires. All the feelings have become a luxury because they shouldn't interfere with what they're at by those who are planning their life. There is a note in that of ceding that which is theirs to have in the first place, the freedom to do as they wish and how and to do as they think instead of giving in to big government, to be big daddy, the refusal to grow up, so to speak, and becoming your own master means you actually have to stand on your own two feet and live your life rather than what someone else wants for you. And whether it's big government, big daddy, or whatever you want to call it. Nicely done there, niece. Thank you very much. All right. We're coming back to Eugene. Uh-huh.
Okay, the next one I have up is called Fate of the Low Man by Mr. M. Hit that button.
This is my recital of Fate of the Low Man, a poem inspired by Metallica. Unforgiven had been his label, for he was not to be. From his birth he was unstable as a fractured anomaly. With every breath that taunted since he was ripped away from peace, the child who was left unwanted just wanted his pain to cease. But life, it seems, had other plans, and crime became his calling. Devoid of caring, guiding hands, he never knew he was falling. Misery became his only friend as his darker side prevailed. Though he tried to pretend, he felt that God had failed. The low man lived, poor and twisted, consumed by all he feared. Joy had never really existed since his chaos puppeteered. Padded rooms could not hold this wretched outlaw torn. Blackened is the bitter cold where once his heart was worn. Frantic, broken, beaten, scarred, the devil's dance is due. his dreams of normalcy forever marred in a fate that's sad but true. He spends his remaining days behind walls of stone and steel. I'm sure he'd feel a lot of ways, if at all he could feel. The day has come for penitence, but his soul knows no remorse. Never surrendering to recompense, yet justice shall run its course. So as he sits upon thunder's throne, lightning crackles and fluids foam. This soul can never truly atone, and curses wherever he may roam.
Great read, Mr. M. Thank you very much for the sound clap. It is very much appreciated. Thank you. All right, Jean, why don't we start with you?
Well, I am here now. This was an excellent piece by Robert. That's almost a silly statement because he does wonderful darker writes. But this is a great piece, and I think down in the author's notes that there's a lot of references here to other titles. And I always find that to be kind of cool when people do that because there's a lot of pulling things together and making them all work. And I think that he did an incredible job here. But definitely well done. And I think he has all the, it's just got that tone of, I believe, the intro song tonight. You know, that underlying, I don't want to say, it weighs heavy, the same as this poem does when you're listening and reading it. So I think that on that note, Robert did an excellent job. And well done.
And how about you?
Yeah, first of all, that was an excellent read that he did. I think definitely Metallica is a perfect contest topic for Robert to write to. I liked that he put in so many of the different song titles. I think I kind of like in his AM like 15 or something like that. And he made it work really well. Like it didn't like stand out. It he had it blend in nicely. Wonderful rhyme and flow. I like how Gene, you mentioned that it has the same like heavy weight as the song. And it does. It has the same kind of sadness as a song as the music. What I like, though, is the twist that he gave it. Like the original song is about a young man who was, you know, emotionally and physically abused. And so the song is sung to the abuser or abusers, calling them unforgiven. And here, how I interpret this, especially with the first couple of stanzas, but all the way through, is the idea of somebody who is so different than their peers that, you know, because we live in such a culture of cliques, especially in high school, but even after, you know, there are adults who are very cliquish in nature. And oftentimes it is the ones who stand out as being so very different from their peers that there's this kind of sense of someone who just says, why me? Why was I so different that people can't forgive me for being different? And I like how this leads into that act of violence, that no remorse. It's like it's somebody who had a heart and then was just taken away by everything, how they were treated. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Nice thought there, Sam. Thank you. I like this just for the how he let off. Unforgiven had been his label, for he was not meant to be. From his birth, he was unstable as a fractured anomaly. So he starts this out from the beginning and then runs through his life. Every breath that taunted since he was ripped away from peace. The child who was left unwanted just wants his pain to cease. And he goes through each stage of his life, Then the Life Had Other Plans, Crime Came Calling, Misery, His Only Friend, Low Man Lived Poor and Twisted, Consumed by All He Feared, In Padded Rooms, Frantic, Broken, Beaten, Scarred, The Devil's Dances Do. I like that. But it's what hit me with the last two stanzas, because he spends his remaining days behind walls of stone. I'm sure he'd feel a lot of ways, if at all he could feel. There's that notice of being imprisoned, the back end of life, so to speak. And then that notice, the day of penitence, and that last stanza. So as he sits upon thunder's throne, lightning crackles and fluid foam, his soul can never truly atone, and curses wherever he may roam. What a great thunder's throne. What a great thought to old Sparky, the electric chair, and the thought of a lightning crackle and fluids foam is a great representation of how the body reacts to having that much juice poured through it in order to end someone's life. And then that bottom end sort of curses wherever he may roam. So he's destined to be that that ever-roaming delivery system of that which he flailed upon the earth itself. Nicely done, Robert. Thank you. Oh, Jenny, the back of the
key. Okay. Maybe. Okay. Here we go. And I'm going to read this one. And this is
Blind-Minded Tom. Right? Oh, you're going to take this?
Yeah, I figured I would read this one.
Okay, cool.
I figured you may have trouble with Sam's on that. This is Fly My Guitar by Jack Blue. Let my blue guitar be a crazy star when the universe starts to shout a curse. Thunderbolts dance sadly at a glance on his silent strings, trembling to be winged. Will he really fly playfully on high with a sea of jokes for celestial folks? Let him hover now just to be a row on the sorry earth, vanishing in mirth. And poet.
Great read, Gene. Thank you very much. And Pam, bring it on up.
All right. I really like that title. It has a very kind of mystical quality to it. Great imagery in this brevity. Excellent read there, Gene. Thunderbolts dance badly at a glance on his silent strings, trembling to be winged. Will he ready fly playfully on high with a sea of jokes for celestial folks? I like how he goes. I like that second stanza and the idea of a guitar just begging to be played, an instrument begging to be played, to want to soar and fly. I like that it has a kind of, like I said, mythical and spiritual quality to it. Just an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. And Jean, you got to read it.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I thought this was a clever rhyming piece, and it was nicely penned. I'm not sure the correlation to something, anything. I think it was just in general, and I think that I could be missing something, so everyone has to forgive me. But nice job, Jack Blue, and thanks for sharing with us.
Nice. Thank you, Gene. I think it has a nature touch to it. Let my blue guitar be a crazy star when the universe starts to shout the curse. It's almost a thought to that which thunders across the skyline. And then he hits on that next one. Thunderbolts dance badly at a glance on his silent strings, trembling to be wings. But there's a thought of imitation of the universe. So that note of playing the guitar to sound like the roar of thunder, the crack of lightning. And then the offer, will he really fly playfully on high with a sea of jokes or celestial folks? Then there's a note of playing music for the universe, so to speak. And the idea of the last stanza hits me with a thought of hovering in the now, because that's all we have. And the vanishing in mirth, maybe that's the kickback Earth telling us, hey, enjoy yourselves while you're here because it is a very short time. And while I exist forever, nicely done, Jack. Oh, Jane.
Okay, right. I'm coming back. I'll be here by Papa Tim.
Escape by Papa Tournament. Out on the stage, this world keeps spinning. While I play, my demons are grinning. They're clocking every day. In their eyes, I've seen beams of flashing. Bloody hand out, I'm still begging just to get away. Behind these bars, yearning to be free. Lost in a poem, no desire left to be. Run for my life. Devil stalking me, led into the darkness, down on my knees. Broke these bonds I'm giving, pour the bottle out on the road. The wrist is ready to explode. Whiskey smiles, demon winning, pathos drive me to the end. All is black, there's no light ahead. Behind these bars, yearning to be free. Lost in the poem, no desire to be. Run for my life, devil stalking me, down on my knees. Want to escape from this pathos of grief. One day I'll spread dove's wings and soar above the pasture so green, leaving behind my broken being. Finding light, it invites me, life on my own, the desire to be free. Run for my life, devil stalking me, led into the darkness, down on my knees, want to escape from the pathos of grief. And boom. All right, Pam. Bring it on.
All right. Well, great read there, Rex. This has a wonderful lyrical quality to it. I really like that. I like how the general message is feeling like you're being held prisoner by something, like in addiction. I like that he sets it in the tone of out on the stage, this world keeps spinning while I play and my demons are grinning, plotting every day. And so he touches on the life of a musician, but I like that this is a life that anybody can relate to or an idea that anybody can relate to in that idea that when everything seems to be going so well, that's when the universe seems to be plotting against you. I really like, broke these bonds I'm giving, pour the bottle out on the road, the wick is ready to explode, whiskey smiles, demons winning, pathos driving me to the end, all is black, there's no light ahead. You really in those lines get that idea of somebody who's struggling with being in the cage of alcoholism. One day I'll spread dove's wings and soar above to pastures so green, leaving behind my broken being, finding the light it invites me, life on my own, the desire to be free. I really like how in those last few stanzas, there's such a wonderful sense of hope, of knowing there's something better out there than the grief and the pain you're living in the moment. So excellent write and very well done.
Wow, thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you? We lose Jean again?
Yes,
are you just mutated?
I'm mutated. First time tonight. I've really been. But, damn. I was doing so good, too. I think that, you know, the irony here is I'm not familiar with the song at all that he used as a prompt. But the title kind of says a lot. And I think the piece was very well written. And I think that all of us at one time or another in our lives feel that need to escape. You know, and not in a huge way always. But I think that being said, I think that everyone can relate to that feeling of I have to get away from this, you know, even if it's only for a minute, you know, well, anybody who has kids understands that. Sometimes, you know, you have to kind of hide in the closet for a while, close the door, you know, take a deep breath. And I think that the sensation, no matter what the reasoning behind it is, that sensation of needing that escape kind of rings true, because, you know, one person's broken fingernail is somebody else's trip to the ER, you know, let's be real. And I think that kind of that thought process ripples through. And I think that Papa Terminus did a good job with this. So nice work and well done.
Great comment, Jean. You're right. The title is the lead-in to something else a little deeper. With that on the stage, that just hits me with the thought of Shakespeare, all the world's a stage. So it's not literally about the musician, so to speak, but about the person, a running-in-place motif. This world keeps spinning. My demons are green, they're plotting every day. That sort of that which haunts one, the anger with the whiskey is part of that, but it also draws off of the pain, and it hits on down here where it's at, now I can't find it. That there is a note to pain that draws on why the whiskey is there. But then again, one day I'll spread dove wings and soar above the pasture so green, leaving behind my broken being. Then the thought again, down on my knees, led into the darkness. It hits on the note of you can't escape that which you're in, even though you're trying to. That running in place kind of looks at that sort of you're stuck in that singularity, and there isn't a door that you can actually pass through into the next one. But the escape is wanting to. Maybe the note of death being that escape to the other side. Thank you, Papa. All right, Jean. We're about you.
Thank you, Pam. I'm coming to you for the next one. This one is by Lex. Is next.
All right. Youth by Lex is next. And it goes like this. Life, it seems, will fade away, drifting further every day. My youth is black as night. The razor edge is struck again. My end, I think, is near. I have lost the will to live, simply nothing more to give. Day and night blur hazily into one, as I cannot stand this hell I feel. My youth has left, fleeting from my sight. 17, I think, is long enough. For emptiness is filling me. My world is slow, dragging this empty body along. The night is silent, empty ceiling in sight. Mind racing through the depths of hopelessness above. No one but me can save myself, but it's too late. My mind's too far gone. Only content 6 feet deep. Blood runs, blade clings, body drowning as crimson flows freely from this forbidden palace. End poem.
They read that. They a dark look from stage black as they sit on that note. All right, Jean, what would you think?
Are you muted again, Jean?
There's a bleak outlook in this, and especially in that middle line, 17, I think is long enough, for emptiness is filling me. My world is slow, dragging this empty body along. The silence. Night is silent, empty ceiling. It's not. It kind of hits me with that note again. The thought of we had one a couple back about the video on the TikTok angle life, where everything there's too much streaming these days, and it's kind of overloading the sensory angle in people, and they're numb to everything these days. There's no real feeling, no real desire, no real. Thought to what is, except that brief notice of enjoyment in the moment. Everything else past that doesn't matter because it doesn't fit into the equation. And there's a darkness that walks within that itself. Now, how about you, Pam? Pam? Hello?
Yeah, sorry, I'm here.
You got a comment?
Wow. Crazy. okay.
What are you talking about?
Sorry. They used a lot of the song lyrics. A lot. And I'm just looking back and forth trying to see the lines that are different from the song lyrics. Sorry. I'm just being blunt because I'm stuck right now. My youth, 17, I think, is long enough. That's that middle stanza, the middle line there. That's, yeah. You know what? I don't know what to say. I just don't know what to say. Sorry.
Okay. I guess we get to move on to the next one.
Well, I guess I have to stop using the mute button because I've neglected to take myself off twice now, maybe three times. But, you know, I feel at a loss a lot of times because I don't know the prompts to start with. And we said this was inspired by Fade to Black, which I'm not familiar with the piece, so I feel really stupid when I'm trying to say something. But it was well written, and it was nicely, it was clever and well expressed. I think that the poem stood on its own, you know. So without anything to compare it to in my mind, I have to base my comment on that alone. So nice job, Lex, and thanks for sharing.
All right. Well, where would you like to go next?
I don't know. And that sounds good. It seems safer. Okay, let's see. Did that one. Okay. Thank you, Rex. I'm going to come to you.
All right.
You didn't read the last one, right? It is.
No, Cam did.
Oh, thank God.
So it would be nice to him.
And this one's by Daniel Guhain.
Okie dokie. The Four Horsemen Ride by Daniel Guhain. Four horsemen ride, every one of them decide the fate of man in the great divide. See them here, see them there, see them everywhere. First one's pestilence foretold, second one's gluttony, third one's greed, fourth one's destruction. Hide your kids, hide your family, because in the dark gloom hope fades unmercifully. Run and hide, or surely die in the prickly spine of fate, because you got a date with the reaper. Tear off your shackles of hope, because no quarter will be given to those who sin. And Paul.
All right, Pam, what you got on that note? You one of the four horsemen?
I like that he wrote such an epic piece in that, you know, it has that epic feel and yet it's not particularly long. I like that he goes through the four horsemen, you know, with the pestilence, the gluttony, the greed, and I see he put destruction as the fourth one, though I thought the fourth one was death itself. Oh, no, death was a separate entity, if I remember right. I really like that, and I really like hide your kids, hide your family, because in the dark gloom, hope fades unmercifully. Run and hide, or surely die. I like how it brings on that kind of that warning, the end times warning that comes with the it has that whole like Book of Revelation type mythos type feel to it, just an excellent take on the prompt, the song, the Four Horsemen, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. All right, Gene, how about you?
Yeah, I think this is a well-written and expressed piece, and I think it was a great brevity as well. You know, Pam nailed that one. I think that it really was straight and to the point, and it's a story that he wanted to tell just in such a concise manner, really, you know. you know, it wasn't too short, so he didn't have to cut out too many corners, but I think it was just, it was no longer than it had to be. So, well done. Great job.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gene. A couple weeks ago, we did a Don't Fear the Reaper, but this one walks a darker tone where, yeah, you should be fearing that Reaper, especially with the angle of sin. But I also like that thought in the back end of this, no quarter will be given to those who sin. No quarter is a song by Zeppelin, but also the act when it comes to death, when it comes to war, you are never given quarter. That means there is no point in saving at that point. You're gone. So that thought of no quarter was a nice touch to finish out, and thank you very much. All right, Jane. Yeah. We're coming back.
Here we go again. Put this one up, and this is called The Key by Partner. And birds chirp every morning as if calling me to fill their feeder before I have a cup of tea. I found the key to be happy and free. A playful bumblebee surrounds me, stares, comes close as if to kiss me. I found the key to be happy and free. My granddaughter, Jana, a sweetheart, chases butterflies that she likes a lot. I found the key to be happy and free. Summertime, morning breeze, soft touches and appeases. I found the key to be happy and free. Evenings in summer attract fireflies, as if glittering stars bring down the sky. I found the key to be happy and free. End poem.
Great read, Gene. Thank you very much. Damn. Which one do you think this is referencing?
I am completely at a loss. What do you think it's referencing?
I don't know, because it's really light and airy, and it walks around that note of the picture itself. But on a more human note.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Oh, it's absolutely beautiful.
It kind of hits on that note of not just the calling and freedom itself, but the calling to actually live life as it's meant to be. The granddaughter,
maybe
Jana, sweet.
Nothing else matters.
I found the key to be happy and free. So I'm not sure offhand.
I'm thinking the first song, Nothing Else Matters, it would fit with that. So,
that does fit quite well with that, considering, this does walk that line, Nothing Else Matters, those little touches of beauty. Perfect. All right.
Keep up here.
All right, Jean, how about you? Pan said a lot.
Well, you know, I thought the piece itself was good. It seemed awfully cheerful for me to identify it with anything I was familiar with. But I don't know. I mean, could be many things that I've never heard, so I didn't want to take it for granted that, I don't want to feel lost is what it is. But since Pam felt a little lost, I don't feel so bad being lost too. You know, maybe I'll meet her around the corner somewhere. But I think
this walks on the simpler pleasures of life, which does hit on that note, nothing else matters except the simpler pleasures of life.
I can go with that. This had a totally different feel. And I think that's where my head is.
Considering the music, this did throw me off, too, because it's light and airy and not really on their wavelength. But, hey, if you can work that thought out on that angle, I like it.
Absolutely.
It does hit a great note of, hey, you know what? Nothing else matters if you're happy to be anyway.
That's true, too. Absolutely, but I think that it was a good piece. It really was, and it was cheerful, and it was. There's nothing wrong with that at all. So, nice job.
No, not at all. Especially if you get something that puts you off kilter. Okay.
I start off
the music, but yet it does fit considering the angle you took.
Yeah, absolutely. Could I actually say a little more about the poem since I didn't get to say a whole lot of a comment? Oh, just you. I'm going to put a stapler on your tongue. So, anyways, I am now going to comment. See, he gets awfully quiet when I threaten to put a stapler on his tongue. But, yeah, no, this one, I have to – it's absolutely beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. You both have said it's light and airy, and it is. And I think that's one of the reasons very important, like, for to put your prompt in the AN, especially if you're going to do something a little different, although it is fun to, you know, I'm sure to listen to the hosts of the contest, you know, try to figure out what song you wrote to. But yeah, I like the feel of this. I like that it has that gentleness. I like that it has that appreciation for you know the simple things in life. The key to happiness is the people and the things that you have around you that are. Make your life better and don't necessarily weigh the spirit down. I like that she mentions her granddaughter again. I think that's absolutely beautiful. And I like that it has that wonderful, simple message of, you know, of finding the key to happiness. And guess what? Quick shout out. Tonight, well, I should say tomorrow, the 23rd, my oldest baby turns 21.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very cool. Absolutely.
So which Wisconsin bar is going to go hang out with?
Well, you're supposed to go.
Not that he hasn't already been there.
Yeah, true. But the tradition here in Spooner is that when you turn 21, you go to the Buckhorn.
That sounds like a what the hell they call it? That sounds like an enema you get after you're drunk.
It's actually the bar in Spooner where the most fight, like it's the bar you try to avoid. Like you go there when you're 21 and avoid it when you get old enough to be smart.
Yes, an armpit that smells of urine.
Yeah, right.
All right. Now, let's get off that painted subject and move into something else.
Okay, well, the next one I'm going to put up is for you, Pam. So whenever you're ready.
Okie dokie. Maybe I have to refresh. Let me try that. Oh. Okay. All right. On the Inside Looking Out by Julie Buck. I've always been inside myself, still am, I suppose, waiting for that perfect time that never comes. Either the world's not good enough or I'm not. I just know it's very rough to hear me shout when on the inside looking out. Because I do need and want to be and belong to something bigger than me. I always began inside myself, still do, I choose my own way, and that song was off key to your ears. The impossible evermore, a chilling reflection of old and fertile ears. Either way, my hands and apathy push through the looking glass, every day a bit sadder. And into a world I or it may not be ready for, but you know, what does it even matter? And poem.
And poem.
Great reason. All right, Jean. What did you think?
Well, I think that Julie did a great job with this. You know, I think that she really, when you start reading it, you're going, okay. But she pulls it all together and puts it all in perspective again, you know, through the prompt of Nothing Else Matters. And, yeah, I think it was a great reflection of that. So well done, Julie, and thanks for sharing.
Well said, Jean. Thank you. All right, Pam, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, it was an excellent write by Julie. I really like the line, "I always begin inside myself, still do I choose my own way," and that song was off key to your ears. I like that idea of remaining true to yourself, you know, and singing your own song, no matter how anybody else hears it, and even if other people don't understand it. I did like the mention of through the looking glass, every day a bit sadder and into a world I or it may not be ready for. I like the idea of becoming this new person and this new person that the world may not be ready for, but you're stepping out and you're coming, the whole idea of coming into your own. So excellent write and very well done.
Well said, Pam. Thank you, Evan. There's a kind of a note to kind of an argument with self. The thought of being something that reflects oneself, but then again, you kind of look, because she hits on that, where is it, the mirror? No, I can't find it, of course. Through the looking glass, every day a bit sadder. There's that note of reflective note of self. The argument in the mirror, so to speak, looking at why are you doing this, and the face looking back, because that is not what you're supposed to be. So you get that that sort of the left and right brain at odds with each other while looking in the mirror, so you can face yourself and actually speak the words and get the answers from the other side looking back. And I always begin with inside myself, and again that, and then that sort of where was it? I chose my own way, and that song was off key to your ears. Again, that thought, argument with self. Then old infertile fears. Either way, my hands an happy push through the looking glass every day, a bit sadder, and into a world I or it may not be ready for. So there is that note of understanding who and what, and whether she is or not ready for the world. The world might not be ready for them, as a matter of fact. And there is that last note. What the disease doesn't even matter. As long as you're happy doing it, who cares? All right, Jean. We're back on you.
Okie dokie.
Dogpile on the rabbit. Dogpile on the rabbit.
I've heard that somewhere before. I have to think about it. Okay, here we go. This piece is by Diane.
Yeah, a few weeks ago.
Living Ain't Running, a parody of Nothing Else Matters by Diane D. Here we go.
Living Ain't Running, a parody of Nothing Else Matters by Metallica by Diane D. Thank you. down, don't worry, and blues wasn't the right road that you took. Forever running, that is you. 'Cause living ain't running. Never wavered outside the lies. Truth be told, we get no more cries. Tears of truth flow from my eyes. 'Cause living ain't running. Light I need, and you make it shine. Always want to be taking time. Never time for a different time. 'Cause living ain't running. Wasn't right to run from me. Wasn't right to run from you. But you do. Slow down, don't worry and blue. Wasn't the right road that you took. Forever running, that is you. 'Cause living ain't running. Wasn't right to run from me. Wasn't right to run from you. But you do.
Nicely done parody. It has a great flow to it. I like that she had the background music, not too high, not too low. That was very nice. A well-executed sound cloud. I really like "slow down, don't worry" in blue. Wasn't the right road that you took. forever running, that is you, because living ain't running. You know, it's that whole idea of sometimes we have to turn around and face our problems. Sometimes we have to turn. Oh. Am I? No, I'm not on mute. Okay.
Yes, you are.
Just slap you upside the head. But, yeah, no, I really like how it's about the idea that you're not living life just because you're constantly moving. You know, because in that case, in this case, all you're doing is you're avoiding your problems. You're avoiding facing a situation. You're avoiding handling a problem. Wonderful, wonderful lines all the way through, an excellent parody, and very well done.
Well, thank you very much, Payan. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I think that I have to agree with Pam. You know, it was a great parody. Diane did a fine job with it and hung with the rhythm and the rhyme of it, and pun intended. And, yeah, the music in the background was not too loud, not too soft. It was just right. So it was just nicely done. I think it was a great job. So excellent work, Diane, and thanks for sharing, as always.
Well, I guess I'll make that a threesome in the angle of thoughts. And Pam, you're right. The way this played, you can't rub me. So it had me thinking of White Room and that one line, our shadows ran from themselves, because you can't outrun your shadow, even if you try. But this kind of hits on the note of fear and actually standing up to that which you're running away from or supposedly running to. Nicely done, Diane. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're back on you.
Okie dokie. Well, I'm going to put Pam's piece up next. And so, Pam, whenever you are ready. If you'd be so kind.
Okie dokie, Smokey. All right. The Cosmic Dance. And it goes like this. Science fiction, fantasy, all the horrors I can see in my dreams and in my mind are all the monsters you can find. Run away, run and hide. Evil's here. The good has died. We have no hope. I have no pride. This earth shall be the devil's bride. Lurking with their rancid breath, harbingers of bloody death, the taste of bone, the hunt to kill, the lust for an immortal thrill. It all lives here inside of me, smashing walls to be set free. I am Cthulhu's firstborn son, killing till my day is done. Creeping from a watery grave, with thoughts of flesh to be enslaved, the horrors that are inside of me are ones you do not want to see. The end of time, the end of days, rotation set in mystic play. The moon shall rise, the call of blood, no mercy shown while cities flood. The Cthulhu mythos in my veins, where good and evil seeks to reign. And you with your blind ignorance do not see this cosmic dance. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Jean, you get first look.
Okay. Well, Pam, I think that, you know, as always, you know, your work is fabulous. I don't know this one you chose, but I don't know that I really need to in this. You know, your lines are wonderful throughout, and your storyline in here is, you know, it's dark and it works. And I think you did a fine, fine job. So good for you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And
Cthulhu mythos, my ass. You've cleaned out the dungeons and revamped it with new equipment, haven't you?
Oh, well, you know, occasionally a woman has to, you know, redecorate the dungeon.
So I hear.
Well, it looks like you're getting ready for the end days when you'll have plenty of meat to hang up on the hooks and vegetate before you cut it up for, a little ground beef or steak. Oh, we'll be back tonight. We got some fresh veggies. Yeah, this is all Hannibal Cannibal.
Well, yeah, and the song is actually instrumental, so you wouldn't actually need to hear it, Phil. But thank you both of you for the wonderful comments.
Right.
Hey,
yeah.
All Wisconsin, you better look out about Spooner. Something brewing over there.
There's a full moon rising or a blood moon rising.
And that bullshit about bears in the woods? Ha, 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 ha. Them ain't bears.
Well, I was telling somebody earlier today, I've just been in the mood to write dark. I was on Gray's show last night, and he asked if I had anything, and his theme was very, like, kind of romantic poetry. And I was looking through my last 10 poems, and I was like, there's freaking nothing romantic. It's all about destruction and idiots and, you know. So.
Sometimes it'd be that way.
Well, this is romantic for cannibals.
Right? Well, exactly, you know. Like, hey, baby, I'll be your snack if you'll be mine.
Passion comes in many forms.
All right. Should we have dessert now?
I heard she was making rhubarb pie.
Oh. Yeah, you can make that with veins and arteries.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's, well, for the last one of the night, I think. It all depends. We might get fit two in, but I'm going to put this next one up for you.
All righty. The Four Horsemen, a tribute to Metallica by Beatnik. The Four Horsemen gather backstage alone in the minutes before the show. No quarter, yells Papa Hess, as they break like an offensive huddle. The Pirates' skull and crossbones, they've adopted this cry because they know what's expected each and every show as the patches on their jackets show. When the foursome take the stage, they drive the crowd into a rage with classic metal grind of the most thunderous kind. The audience gets the best show in metal or rock and roll, death, war, betrayal, apocalypse, as themes that the band is known for. To be there is to see the greatest in metal history and the tightest band that has ever played in every land. James, Lars, Robert, and Kirk, the greatest live show you will ever see. Pull one up on YouTube. For an instant fan, you'll be. And poem. All right, Cam.
Great read there, Rex. I like that Beatnik wrote. He was inspired by the song The Four Horsemen, but used it as to write a tribute to the four members of Metallica. Wonderful imagery. The Pirate's skull and crossbones, they've adopted this cry because they know what's expected each and every show as the patches on their jackets show. Great rhyme. You know, and I really like where he says the audience gets the best show in metal or rock and roll, death, war, betrayal, apocalypse are themes that this band is known for. And that is very true. I like that he puts in that tidbit there and that he puts in the suggestion that, you know, people really need to check them out because they do know how to put on a good show. And so just a wonderful tribute to the band. And very well done.
Aw, thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
When did you become Elvis? What happened with that? Anyway, I thought it was a really nicely penned piece. And I thought it was a nice tribute to Metallica because I think there was a lot of nice thoughts expressed here, you know, towards them. And, I think that Beatnik did a great job with this. I mean, and you know, like they say, I don't know the Four Horsemen, that whole angle there. But as Pam said, you know, I could see how he took just the title and turned it into all about them instead. So it's a great tribute piece and a job well done. Nice work, Beatnik, and thanks for sharing.
Thank you. And yeah, this starts from that first stanza, no quarter, you know, pop ahead. The reference there being no holding back as he delivers out the message with the rest of the piece itself, hitting on that final note of the best show you'll ever go to. And I've been to some great shows and live ones when they let everything rip loose on the stage and kind of riff off the moment into a little play between songs is always great motif. So I can understand the feeling. Thank you very much, Beatnik. All right, Gene.
Okay, you think we got time for one more? Probably.
Yeah, we got 7 minutes.
Sure.
Unless you're caught.
Yeah,
really,
that makes sense. What the hell I was thinking. Okay, here we go. I'm going to put this one up, and I have an audio for it, so here we go.
Okay.
When I was 10, I would say Metallica instead of metal. Funny thing is, when you describe music, you are right, but you are also very wrong. Especially when you don't know the names of either band. Noah had the first droid phone and it had internet. You know that thing in the computer labs at school? Well, it's inside his freaking pocket. Armani recommended Ray William Johnson's Equals 3. We watched the new Jesus and left our seats off. This bus silly rode it home from a school field trip in San Antonio. Or San something rather. I have been singing in Guitar Hero World Tour for the Wii and my favorite Metallica song BYOB. Actually by Soul was on my mind. I recommended it, but the Wi-Fi wasn't connecting anymore. So I sang it quietly the whole way home while Imani and Chase played whack-a-mole with my erection. Dropping Imani's water canteen, Imani yelled, AJ, focus your dick. I asked how. Think about girls, oh. I tried to focus, but I couldn't get hard. So I just lifted my sweats in the formation of a ginormous penis. Sang out occasionally. That was the second to last day I saw my anti-bully squad team. I made it again, and the third to last day I saw my greatest friend Imani McLellan ever again.
Bravery Soul, thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. All right, Pam, why don't we start with you?
Well, I enjoyed this. I liked the humor in it. I actually had first read a poem of Soul's on Faziana's poem, or not poem, but show, and was really impressed with how he wrote about, you know, friendship and, you know, looking back and, you know, like his writing has a very nostalgic feel. I like the nostalgia of those, like, those best friends that you have that you just absolutely are ridiculous with. And, you know, I really thought he did great with that SoundCloud, kind of a bluesy type feel to his voice. The second to last stanza absolutely cracks me up. But what also cracks me up is that at the beginning, when I was 10, I would say Metallica instead of metal. And I, you know, I've never heard of anyone doing that, but I so could completely completely see that happening, like how some people call Kleenex, toilet tissue paper Kleenex. And I like that he gives a shout out in the last stanza. He gives a shout out to his friends, his anti-bully squad, and says, you know, in the third to last day, I saw my greatest friend, Omani McLellan, ever again. You know, and I don't know what happened to his friend. I don't know if they just haven't been in contact or if there was a greater loss. But I think it's a wonderful shout out to youth and a wonderful shout out to friendship. And it's very well done.
I think you hit it with nostalgia. First Droid phone and it had internet. You know, that thing in the computer lab at school. Oh, that's really drawn back quite a way. Oh, it's inside his freaking pocket, the little kind of a shock note. And the anti-bully squad kind of had me thrown because it kind of sounded like they bullied each other pretty good. And when you're that good buddies, yeah, you can rag on each other and it never really sticks.
Absolutely.
Gene, how about you?
That was a great tribute to Whack-A-Mole. Nice step. Yeah, bit.
And that brings us to the back end of the evening.
We're 25 seconds. And,
all right, I'll make it quick. Great show, Gene. Thank you very much for the boards and the posting. Pam, thank you for joining us. And Chris, thank you for the brief moment you spent with us. Much appreciated. We'll do this again next week. It is Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, and we'll see you all later. Have a good evening.
Thank you, guys. Great job, Rick. Great job, Pam. I'm just hanging out for the ride tonight. Yeah, have a good one. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Night, Rex.